The 2010 IMF reforms expanded the voting power of China, India, Russia, and Brazil. Those who agreed to give up some voting share included the United States, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa, though several European countries gave up the largest share. Andrew Hanauer is the campaign's director at Jubilee USA Network, an organization that aims to improve the quality of lending to poorer countries.
It's a big deal. It's definitely a step in the right direction. We've been waiting, more than 5 years now for it to happen. There's no question that it did not look good for the United States to be the only country holding these reforms up, particularly since the United States is the only country that has the power to hold things up by itself at the IMF. So I think that's important that, finally that, as I said, the politics got out of the way.
The Obama administration has been an enthusiastic supporter of the reforms, but the five-year delay was caused by the U.S. Congress, which wouldn't or couldn't vote to approve the changes. Investment advisor Douglas Redeker, who is also a visiting fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, says by voting to approve the changes, the U.S. Congress has finally closed a credibility gap.
This was a U.S. initiative 5 years ago to actually reform not just the voting rights or the quota at the IMF, but the overall governance structure, to give emerging markets a much more representative voice at the table. And then, the irony was, it was the U.S. that turned out to be the one party that held up the very reforms that the U.S. spearheaded.
The five-year delay has also pushed back negotiations for a new set of IMF reforms. Douglas Redeker says that process will now begin in 2016.
The IMF articles contemplate an ever-shifting global economic landscape. That's why, under the rules, every 5 years, the IMF is supposed to reassess this governance structure and the quota that by which countries exercise their rights, simply because the world moves on and economic strengths wax and wane.
With China holding the presidency of the G20 in 2016, that's likely to lead to new efforts to expand the role of emerging nations in the architecture of the world's economic leadership. For CRI, I'm Rebecca Foster in Washington.